You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the best city in the world, the best baseball city in front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Left, it is high, it is far, it is gone! Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast. We have episode number 136. Tyler, tomorrow is opening day. March 30th, the Yankees will be at the stadium opening up against the San Francisco Giants, and New York Yankees baseball is back. We are back, ready to play, ready to go. Rosters are final. We have, we got who we got to start the season, even though we're starting off with some injuries, and it's going to be interesting to see how some positions play out. We have a new starting shortstop of the New York Yankees that took me by surprise, took you by surprise as well. Not as much as me, because I said from the start that I didn't think Anthony Volpe would be the starting shortstop. But, hey, I'm wrong.
The longer it took and the more he played with the big dogs and got, like, leadoff time, I feel like Twitter was coming to the consensus. We're like, all right, there's a chance. When the last, like, 2 months or whatever, we were like, no chance. Like, it's Peraza's job. Like, I came on this pod and was like, it's Peraza's job to lose, dude.
And he lost it. So,
Volpe won it. Whatever
yeah,
way you want.
Either way you want to look at it. We'll dive deep into it. But Peraza obviously was dealing with a little bit of injuries during spring, so maybe that was a factor. But we'll expect him to be on the team at some point. But yeah, it's there's a lot to dive into right before opening day tomorrow. A lot of roster moves to go through, but. Because this is the opening day pod, right before, obviously, tomorrow.
We're excited.
We're very excited, and I know that we have a lot of new listeners with us this season, and hopefully we'll continue to get more. So if you're new to the podcast, be sure to subscribe. Leave us a rate and review. It really helps us out on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. Actually, today, Tyler, we're debuting the new intro for the new season, so that's exciting. We've had that for 135 episodes, the previous intro, so now we're debuting the new one, so that's exciting. But if you're new to the pod, as I said, subscribe and leave us a rate and review and follow us on our social channels at Four Savages on Twitter as well as at Four Train Savages on Instagram and TikTok, and we'll continue to pump out videos throughout the entire season as this all transpires and we get to see Yankees baseball to go. So, right off the bat, pun intended, Anthony Volpe, starting opening day shortstop. And Number 11. He's taking the Guardy party
now. Brett needs to show up to the stadium and, like, pass the torch to him, you know?
Imagine.
Brett's in, like, Idaho somewhere doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's farming or something. But I know some people on Twitter were talking about how they didn't want him to take Clint Frazier's number, which he was wearing, number 77, throughout spring training, understandably so.
You don't want to curse him.
Yeah, you don't want to have the bad mojo going. But yeah, I'll be the first to say it. I was wrong. I thought Anthony Volpe wouldn't be on it, but as time went on and he stayed on the team, and he continued to play well, he forced their hand to play and be the starting shortstop. And I have to give credit to Brian Cashman, and I have to give credit to Boone, and for all the decision makers that put aside the service time and put aside what they can do with that, and they said, we're going to put the best product on the field, and from what we saw in spring training, and to give us the best shot to win right off the bat, that is what Anthony Volpe does.
Yeah, to say he forced their hand, Rob, is – I don't want to say putting it lightly, actually, because he definitely won the job. But to your point, dude, if they never came out and were like, you know, remember when the report came out that Cashman called them and he was like, hey, Anthony, like, you have a chance to win this job, yada, yada, yada. If that never came out, they probably could have gotten away with the fact that maybe they wanted to start Peraza for 3 weeks or they wanted to start IKF for 3 weeks. But it was so clear that he won the job. Like, there was no going back from it. He won it. So the Yankees obviously, you know, kept their word and went with it. But it was a good thing to see. I don't know if it's some sort of organizational shift or something, dude, but I'm down to play the best players. That's always a good thing when we're playing, you know, our guys that are good.
To say the least, we've been waiting for it, for something like this. And Oswald Peraza obviously gets sent down to AAA, which was not the ideal thing that we wanted to happen. But it's just a fact of the matter.
But he needs everyday time.
Yeah.
You know?
And so it stinks because we're starting the season without him on the team, and ideally we'd want him to be on the team, but we have IKF, we have Glaber, we have DJ, we have Josh Donaldson still there. And there's just, unfortunately, not a spot. And that's why we would have liked at some point to be a roster move. But clearly, Josh Donaldson and IKF, based on either the fact that they have no trade value and the Yankees were probably trying to trade them, or we don't know. Maybe they seem very warm and open to the idea to Josh Donaldson playing and IKF playing every position imaginable, like outside a pitcher, but who knows? Maybe he'll be the fifth starter at this rate. But the thing with Peraza that I hope that he, when he goes down, that it doesn't shoot his confidence level down, because we've seen it time and time again in the past 4 or 5 years that they do not. They have this issue where they just, it was either Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar, Esteban Florial, who's now on the team full-time.
Yeah, they treat their prospects poorly, for sure. That's why it was almost better, to me at least, that they sent him down instead of, we're like, all right, we're going to keep you on the bench. Like, that would screw his development, you know?
Yeah, and so, like, the way that I would agree with that, and I think at a certain point he's going to be on the team. I mean, he better hopefully be on the team. He already was. He was here at the end of the year. But the fact of the matter is, you just have all these guys that play in the infield and nowhere, and just, you have limited options. And
yeah,
the only two tradable, alluring candidates to other teams are Glaber or Peraza. And Glaber at this point is probably, obviously, he's going to start the season, and he. And there's, I've seen at least on Twitter that there's a split between people that are staying loyal to Glaber and want him to play the season out, or guys that are ready to stop prospect hugging and trade Peraza. So there's two sides of the coin at this moment in time, and there's just a slew of guys, because you're not trading IKF, obviously, or I wouldn't say you're not trading him, obviously. I'd say that at this moment in time,
he still might, dude, because that's why Flo has to be moved, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, it depends on how he performs to start the season. But there's just six, like you said earlier in a couple pods ago, IKF with the $6.5 million committed to him,
he's would Marwin's be more, role and Tyler Wade's role.
But he's being paid far too much. And this, obviously, same thing with Josh Donaldson. So that IKF would probably have more value than Josh Donaldson, and you're not getting probably getting a lot for him. But it just sucks because you're choosing between Glaber and Peraza, really, until IKF can play up his value. And you're not trading DJ, because that's $90 million or $96 million and years on him, and obviously the injury history. So
unless it's they're just banking on an injury, dude. Because I personally really don't see where Peraza fits on this team. If they actually want Volpe to be the shortstop full time, and like that's his position, like he's not jumping from third to second to short, like he's not, like, you know, interchangeable between second and short. If he's gonna be the shortstop full time, you got to do something with Peraza, dude. Because
Peraza
is a Gold Glove shortstop, like, now.
Yeah, you know? I'll tell you what I think. This is my opinion of what I think. I've obviously been an advocate of trading Glaber this offseason, but they're not gonna do it. So there's
they the, still might, dude. I don't
No, know. No. I think it's gonna take a few. They're not gonna do it.
It's not gonna happen before tomorrow.
They're
no.
not gonna do it in April. I don't think. Do you think they're gonna do it in April?
No. I don't. Okay. I mean, say he has a killer April, then they're like, all right, let's. And Peraza's raking in AAA. They might be like, okay, well, let's see, try and dish him out in May.
And then that's. But see, that's where I think that.
But then Gleyber could also still be good, dude.
Exactly.
That.
So that's an issue for me. Of okay,
Peraza does not fit in my head right now.
You have a number of different things that could happen. Gleyber starts the season poorly, and then his trade value is nowhere. Like, or is it's not. At the bottom, it's not, say, Josh Donaldson at this moment in time or IKF. It's not, I don't think, that low, but it's obviously decreased. Then you have the situation where Gleyber, say, maybe plays mediocre and keeps his value at the same level. Maybe then you can trade him, or then Gleyber plays out of his mind, and then they're going to be saying, well, we still want to hold on to Gleyber. So it's a really effed situation. If it was up to me, I would... Even if his value is sky high, I would really debate still thinking about trading him because it's the same thing that I don't know if there's any like Knicks fans that are listening to this podcast as well. I've been a strong behind. I wanted to trade Julius Randle because his trade value is very high. Like that, because I say this only because the long term. It's either you're deciding between a guy that's 22 in Peraza. And you're hoping then the variable there is you're hoping that he can continue to ascend. And then you look at Gleyber and you say, okay, this guy's going to cost us money. What's that contract going to look like? Or
if, but Glaber's probably better now. That's,
yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely. I'm not saying he's not. But then you say, well, I have three other capable guys that could play his position. Is he... How much better is Gleyber playing that position than what those other three guys could do?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because and so that's like my I could listen, I see people that are loyal to Gleyber. There's some people on Twitter that are saying it's unimaginable to trade Gleyber right now. That is a strong characterization of what I would say. I don't
He was like a top four hitter on the team, unfortunately.
Yeah,
and
listen.
But yeah, I'm not on the train that's like you cannot trade him under any circumstances. That's crazy.
That's what's gonna make it challenging, but then you'd think, okay, you're going to have a guy like Volpe step in, and you're thinking, okay, DJ is going to be a part of that top four, top five. So at this, it sucks the way that Peraza was sent down because again, we don't know with prospects because you just don't know. And obviously, Gleyber is a proven talent.
I still don't think both Volpe and Peraza are going to pan out. And we've been on the Volpe train. Like I think he's going to be a friggin' superstar, dude. So I don't really know what you do. Maybe you just hold on to Peraza and he's your backup shortstop in AAA. If the time ever, you know, knock on wood, you hope it doesn't need to come because you hope Volpe stays healthy. But
so I'll
you're right, dude. It's tough, kind of.
I'll throw this. What happens if Volpe has a really hard out-of-the-gate April?
I don't think that matters anymore because Volpe has always been, like, a step above Peraza. At least that's what it seemed like to me. And
on the overall scale, I think, because defensively, obviously,
I think Volpe would have to be bad till like June, dude, or something, or, like, July.
So you think they're giving him a leash until for that long?
I think they're giving him the whole year, like pretty much, unless he's like, I'm talking like way worse than IKF was last year. Like he's got to be significantly worse than what IKF was to like pull the rug out under him. I feel like Volpe is there the whole year, pretty much regardless of what happens. Like if he hits how IKF hit last year and plays whatever defense, I think he still starts the whole year.
So that's interesting because
Because they wouldn't have sent Peraza down, dude. If they,
but they also
would have let both of them be on the roster and let them compete.
They also,
throughout the season.
They also could be thinking in the back of their mind that that's the card that they have to play. It's say, okay, if Volpe struggles for the first part and Peraza starts kicking ass in AAA, and we have to move around the roster once all these pitchers come back, then I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that they'd say at some point. Because I think the whole year. If he's struggling till June or July.
But, like, what's struggling, though? Like, if he has a 700 OPS.
Well, you said an IKF year for
like worse though. Like I'm talking, IKF had like an 80 OPS plus last year. Like if Volpe is sitting at like a 50 OPS plus and playing bad defense, then I think, yeah, okay, it's fair game. If he's done that for 3 months, like you're, or 2 months, you're like, okay, we rushed his development. He's not ready. Then it's like, all right, let's bring up Peraza. He's got a gold glove. Who cares what he's what he does, you know, with the bat. I think that's like the only scenario that they get rid of him. If he has, if he's hitting, you know, 680 OPS, 700 OPS, and playing whatever defense, I still, I think there's a pretty good chance they let him ride out the whole year.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah. that's my take on it.
I would say they're going
to give I don't think it's a competition anymore. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, the competition is over for the most part in my head.
I don't think
I almost feel like Oswaldo would get run before Peraza almost, dude. Like, I might say that.
No, that's I could see that. It would just, we just have to see the season play out because I don't know if they would. My only drawback on what you said is I don't think they would give him the entire year. Like, if he was, and it also.
But how much can you expect out of him? Like, I don't expect more than like if Volpe does what Glaber did last year, I'm thumbs up. Good rookie season, dude. Like, seriously. Yeah.
No, that would be very good. That would be very good.
How much worse does he have to be from that to like get pulled? You know, because if he gets pulled, you're talking like, all right, you're not coming back till next year.
I mean, the only thing that I would say is this kid has a lot of pressure coming on to him, and I think he seems like he's built to handle it. But like we said, he had limited time in AAA.
He had like 20 games or whatever.
And they're taking a risk here. They are, or we wouldn't call. I wouldn't characterize. It
I just
as a
feel
risk,
like it's but, them committing to Volpe, dude.
Yeah,
they're like, screw Peraza. It's your game, kid. It's hard to go back on that in my head.
I don't think it is for them. I really don't. Because they're saying to themselves, we have a guy that's then another top three prospect, and if Volpe is not good out the gates, we can maneuver it and change it around. God only knows that they'll say, oh, well, we could have IKF.
I get what you're saying, dude. It's just tough because this is when like the caliber of the player and the media comes into play too, because Volpe is he's the number one Yankees prospect and a top five prospect in baseball. Peraza's the number three Yankees prospect and he's like a top. I think he just cracked top 30. So like they're completely, to me, they're like completely different caliber players in that sense. As I think it's really tough to pull the rug on a top prospect in baseball, the number one overall shortstop prospect in baseball, than it is to just go to Peraza that fast, you know?
Maybe. I think it's different. I think if he sucks, he sucks and they're gonna say, all right, he needs more time to develop and Peraza's had more time and they may do it. But what I'm hoping for is that he just again proves what I'm saying incorrect, and that he actually just because he dude the way that he's looked all spring training has just been unreal,
killer, and, dude. And he's just electric on the diamond.
And that yeah, he is. And we just and what he did yesterday in the game at the Major League Park against the Nationals and making those plays, and he got another base hit. He looks like he's ready. And there's gonna be a time where he hits some sort of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't have him have like a month plunge like Glaber did or any of these, you know, it has to be ascending performance. And as long as he does that, you're right. I think he'll make it out the whole year. I would just be cautious of like, because he's had limited time in AAA, we want him to, maybe he'll adjust faster. And he is one of those, like you said, he's a top prospect. He's a baseball junkie. He's a freak. He's going to go out there and he's going to just click. It's just going to click for him, and that's what we have to hope for to happen.
Yeah, I really do hope so. I don't know, dude. We will definitely see. I would be shocked considering what their track record when they commit to someone and they're like, this is the stance that they take. They want to die on that hill. Donaldson, IKF, Hicks. Like, you're riding out those guys, and I get it. That's when the money talks, and you're like, all right, we made the investment. They got to play. But – money talks now too. I mean, you're wasting a year of Volpe's prime by calling him up now.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you're gonna take a lot of heat if you send him back down or something like that.
It's valid. It's just unfortunate.
But it is the Yankees, dude. Like you said, it is the Yankees.
It's unfortunate.
They do some shit sometimes.
That, yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do with this log jam because they still have it. And
yeah, I still think there has to be a move, dude. I'm not gonna stop saying it until there's a move.
Like, it's gotta happen until August. You may be saying it.
Yeah, might be saying it until next year, dude.
I know we're gonna be saying it for left field.
Yeah.
All right, pitching news. Luis Severino will start the IL on, or he will start on the IL with a low-grade right lat strain. So,
what does that mean to you, dude? Like, do we know when he's coming back? Like, he 60-dayed last year for a lat strain. I see it's like, you know, a different part of the lat or whatever. I don't know what that means. Like, does he come back in April, May, end of May, June?
I don't know, like, but does the
time? What are we doing, dude?
The timeline, from where we started at in February about our pitching staff and talking about how it's a top
best
pitching
ever.
Staff in baseball, one of the best that we've seen on the Yankees history, at least on paper to start the season, went downhill quick before anything starts mm-hmm. with all these injuries. With now Rodon out until probably May, Luis Severino.
It seems like the Rodon thing was out of caution. That's how I've kind of drawn it up.
He's
throwing already. I think he threw like 35 pitches yesterday or something. Like, all good news out of him, I've heard. So I think now it's just kind of like, okay, he's got to go through a spring training, right?
Yeah. He's still, I mean,
and that's your new toy.
He's still not here, but and then Severino. Severino's way more worrisome than.
Yeah, Sevy worries me, dude. That's where I'm at right
well,
now.
Well, even just for his own financial gain that he could get this year, it sucks for him.
Yeah, that's true too.
So
weirdly, I'm still confident in the rotation, dude. Like, I don't know if it's a Matt Blake thing or like, dude, Johnny Brito looked fucking good, dude.
Yeah, Johnny Brito looked very good the other day in spring
training.
And
we knew like Clark and Herman, like, we knew that they were gonna pitch at times this year just because the Yankees do phantom IL stuff, Rob. We know that. Mm-hmm. They, you know, players do get hurt. So we knew they were going to pitch. I don't think we thought they were going to pitch the third game of the season, but.
Yeah, the way
as
that.
As long as Rodon is back and misses 3-4 starts, I'm cool with it. Sevy, come back. You know, I hope you come back. I don't have a plan for Sevy, really, in my head.
The way that the season's starting with the staff is interesting because. Obviously, it sucks that you don't mm-hmm. have Severino or Rodon, and then Montas, who probably will miss
I
the entire
totally
year.
Forgot about Frankie Montas, dude.
But it's a weird, maybe you could get a silver lining out of it because you could see what you have. We said, oh, we don't know what we'd have out of a fifth starter when Frankie Montas went down, but now you get to see what you have. And a guy like Clark, who's looked good in spring, Herman, who's looked solid in spring, and Brito, who's looked good at his last start. And it's a weird – because they look – obviously, they look like very capable starters. So it's gonna, in a weird way, it's going to give the Yankees an opportunity to really fully assess what they have. And then, obviously, having Cole and Nestor at the top is very good to have, even though those are last guys from the original rotation. But in a weird way, I say you could really find a silver lining of saying early in this part of the season, and one of these guys can go out and really establish themselves and make a mark and obviously set the Yankees on a good note. So in mm-hmm. a weird way, I think because of what we've seen from their stuff, they all look locked in. So I don't think it sucks, but I don't think it. At this moment in time, I could be eating my words. It's not the worst thing, I would say.
Well, yeah. I mean, the scary thing is when you look at the pitching, Rob, you're literally an injury and, like, you know, a couple bad, really bad starts out of Herman away or Brito away from being like, holy shit, like, we only have two pitchers, you know? But we also know, Rob, just being Yankee fans, especially over the last 5 years, the Yankees treat the month of April different than a lot of teams. They're not going to play guys 6 days in a row. They might not even play them 4 or 5 days in a row. They treat it as an advanced level of spring training is what it feels like to me. The Yankees, it seems like they work in three modes. Before, or right up to the trade deadline, which is kind of their season prep or whatever, after the trade deadline, and then they gear up for the postseason. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the three levels of a Yankee season. I feel like that's how the front office kind of looks at things. So I don't know. I hope these injuries and the pitchers going down right now could be out of some caution, and you know, I hope we see them sooner rather than later. But as long as, in my head, as long as we get Rodon back, you know, in May, and he's a big part of the season, throws 150, 160 innings, whatever he can do, I think I'm happy there. Because if you give me a healthy, you know, Cole, Rodon, Nestor, and whoever's good out of Clark, Herman, and Brito, I think a lot of us would sign up for that. Obviously, you want Seve back, but I don't think mentally he's like, I can place him in the four spot right now, because I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Greg Weissert was optioned to AAA along with their other moves that they recently made. So that was a move out of the bullpen, but I'm sure at some point he'll be back up. Hopefully not too soon, but
all it takes is an IKF trade to get him up too, or something.
Yeah,
Ian Hamilton too.
When's it gonna happen? When's it gonna happen? When is IKF gonna be off this team?
I still think that they have to be doing that. I don't know. I find it hard to believe that they want him to be a $6 million utility guy. We still don't know who's playing center and left too either.
But. He at this point has to play up his value because it's but not,
no one's gonna trade.
It's not good.
No one's gonna trade for like his. I don't think his value can change much. You know, he's been the exact same his whole career, dude.
True.
I don't know. Listen, I hope they do. I hope they're like, oh wow, IKF can play center and catch now. Like, oh yeah,
Gold
we'll
Glove
take
third
him.
Baseman. So
just give IKF away. Like the roster spot's more valuable than he is. You know. So I don't know, man. I'd rather have Tyler Wade than the team, honestly.
Estevan Florial makes the opening day roster. So he's gonna get his last shot. To be on the Yankees straight up. So maybe he can.
I still think he's gone soon too.
Wow. Yeah. I don't see much potential in him at this rate.
If he lasts until Bader gets back, I'll be surprised.
Ortega.
Not, definitely.
Rafael Ortega was released. Willie Calhoun sent down to AAA. And the fact of the matter is left field is going to be a battle. That's going to take.
You really think so, dude?
Yeah. When do you think left field is going to be determined? You think Oswaldo is going to be?
I think it's Waldo, yeah. I think we see Waldo at least in left, center, and right every day, pretty much. I'd say at least 5-6 games a week. I don't think he's going to play any infield, honestly.
But is Oswaldo going to be the starting left fielder in September?
I mean, that depends how the trade deadline goes, and it depends how Oswaldo plays, dude. Like, if Oswaldo has an 800 OPS all year, he's your left fielder, and that's your guy in October, in my head.
It's
like Oswaldo fucking raked this spring.
Yeah, no, Oswaldo is great. I still think the Yankees and when it comes down to it.
You think Hicks plays on open tomorrow?
I predicted it last time. I don't know, or I predicted it last episode. What did I say? I wrote it down.
I feel like you did. No, I think we both said Oswaldo actually, but I think we had the pretty much the same lineup. But I might have had like.
No, I did have Hicks. I do have Hicks.
You did?
Yeah, that'll be.
I do think Waldo starts tomorrow, and I think the left field job is pretty much Waldo, and I think Hicks is the fourth outfielder. And then when Bader comes back, he's the fifth outfielder.
I really hope that it's not me saying that he's not capable of playing it, because obviously I believe that he's capable of playing it. But I do think the Yankees, they are going. It's when Kay was on with us, he said the Yankees. Oh, they are going to retool at the trade deadline. That's what they do.
Yes. Well, they're definitely gonna.
So I think that it's gonna be something that constantly is shifted around. I don't think Waldo will be the everyday left fielder, because then if you're saying that he's gonna we saw what they did in spring training. He literally played every position outside of catcher. So
as Waldo,
yeah, I think it was every wait, he played left,
but,
center.
But Boone has also made comments that like when they're because it seems like Judge is gonna be the center fielder for a little while, and he's made comments where he's like, they say the media's asked him who's playing center when Judge needs a day, and the first two names out of his mouth were Oswaldo and IKF. Not Florial for some reason. Like, he's the actual fucking center fielder. But his first two names were Waldo and IKF. So I don't know if that means Waldo's in like an advanced utility role where he's going to be used a little more than IKF, or if IKF is literally the plug-in dude that spells whoever has the day off. I don't know. I do think Oswald. I'll be very surprised.
So what are you saying? You're saying that he's going to be. So you're saying he's going to be left fielder, or you're saying
I don't know if he's going to be specifically the left fielder. I think he's the third outfielder. That's how I'll put it. Because I don't know the outfield rotation right now with Bader out and Judge in center and Stanton in right and left and all that. I do think on the pecking order, Oswaldo will be the third outfielder, followed by Hicks, then IKF. Or no, followed by... It'll, all right, let me start over. Hicks, I think, will be the fourth outfielder behind Oswaldo, and I think Floreal is the fifth outfielder, and then IKF is the utility guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's somewhat kind of proves my point of that you're kind of somewhat agreeing with me that you think that Oswaldo, they're not going to have a defined left fielder at least until August. Like it's still going to shift around because what happens, you're saying that they're going to have the full, what happens when Volpe needs a day off? Oswaldo may step in and play shortstop because we obviously don't want IKF playing shortstop. And
I think that might be what happens though. I think IKF, I mean, that's true. Okay. So maybe Oswaldo spells Volpe.
There are way too many variables of what the Yankees play at this point for me to definitively say Oswaldo Cabrera will be the left fielder every day.
What I'm saying. I don't think there's a left fielder until Bader's back. Period.
Okay.
That's how I'm thinking about it. Cause I just think it's a rotating like board right now. Because I think Oswaldo will get run in right. I think he'll get run in center, and I think he'll get run in left. I think he plays more than Hicks every single week.
Yeah, no, that's true. How I'll put but it. They still don't have a left fielder.
Yes. That point still stands. They don't have a backup center fielder. They don't have a left fielder. All they have is a right fielder on this team, Rob. It's actually the best one in the world. But that's all they have, dude. They have a right fielder.
Some may argue he could be one of the top center fielders as well.
Yeah. They have a right fielder and Bader when he decides to play. But listen, I'm playing hardball with Bader until I see him in 40 games consistently.
Really?
So, I'm playing hardball, dude. I'm telling you, when I looked at his stat page the other day and I saw he's only had one season where he's played more than 100 games in the last like 5 years, I was like, dude, I got beef with you. You know? But I want him to rake.
When did he?
And he's dope to watch, and he's pretty swaggy in the outfield. But
oh yeah,
that's way. If that gets clipped, he is swaggy, and I love him. I'm pulling it up right now.
No, I see. So he played 138 in 2018, 128 in 2019, and then only 100 games in 2021.
Oh, okay. So I was wrong, but the 72. I mean, all right. So.
I mean, listen, it's still not what you would really want from your committed center fielder.
It's sketchy. Yeah, it's sketchy to me. That's the only thing. But I think we're on the same wavelength, Rob.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be...
Wavelength, whatever it's called.
Wavelength. I think it's going to be something that that will be the number one trade.
Same thing as last year, dude.
Trade piece by August. Yeah. We will not know who it is until... whenever the deadline date is.
The whole thing last year is we needed a left fielder and a shortstop. Listen, top prospects playing short, cool. Still don't have a left fielder.
Although, thrown into the mix, we have today, I don't know how I correctly say his name. Is it Frankie or Franchi?
I think it's Frankie.
Okay.
Could be wrong, but I do think it's Frankie. But I also thought Volpe was Volpe for so long.
So Franchi Cordero signed today for a $1 million deal with the Yankees. He played last year with Boston.
The Sox.
And then the year before that, Kansas City. Yeah. And then the year before that with the Padres. His numbers on Baseball Reference are not going to wow you whatsoever.
He's terrible.
He is arguably, maybe not even arguably, he's Aaron Hicks or worse at this point of what we're looking at.
You want an outfielder? We'll bring
it's just
outfielder.
Another guy into the mix. I guess what we can hope for and this is a long shot, I'm saying it's a long shot, is with this left field situation, somehow something clicks with Esteban Florial, and he just becomes what we've hoped that he could be out of a quality left fielder, because he, this is his last go-around. He has no more options, and this is the last.
Or Waldo just rakes.
Or, obviously, yeah, Waldo just rakes, and then they get back Bader, and then they can have Waldo in left field of a majority of the time.
Yeah.
And then that works out that way, but until Bader gets back, they're going to be shifting all these positions around outside of really shortstop and first base and catcher and every position.
What
is
are we
going
doing,
shift
dude?
Around.
What are we doing?
You know, third base, Josh Donaldson, DJ, yeah.
First base,
IKF,
Rizzo.
Second base, Glaber, DJ, IKF, Waldo, left field, Waldo, Aaron Hicks. Like, dude, it is insane how many different.
Hopefully, we get some clarity in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary that they paid Cordero $1 million, dude.
Any sense of clarity will probably come for me, or when I think that they're going to do.
We'll know something in May, dude.
Like, you mean a trade and stuff?
No, I think we'll at least know how the team is going to be structured for a while.
Okay.
Because eventually we'll be like, all right, Bader's 2 weeks out, Rodon's a week
out.
Yeah,
that's true. Yep.
Cabrera's played, you know, 80% of the games in the left.
Even when we get Bader back, though, it's still going to be a lot of different combinations.
Yeah, it's still. Yeah, like, again, unless Waldo has a really bad long time and Hicks is playing well, I still think it's Waldo is the dude, the third dude in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But
very true.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, so, dude, for example, like, Cordero's not good. And they paid him $1 million. So they have basically the exact same batting stats for their career. 82 OPS plus for IKF. And Frankie Cordero has an 83 OPS plus. Cordero got signed for $1 million. IKF's getting paid $6.5 million. So you can see the discrepancy on the pay scale there. IKF should not be making $6 million, so I'd like to throw that in Brian Cashman's face if he hears this today. But, you know, pay your utility guys $1 million. Maybe you wouldn't have to sign Frankie Cordero.
Maybe you have a little more flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Maybe you could pay, like, a Jock Peterson to play left field. Or, I don't know.
I don't
$6.5 million.
I would
like
say
another two more bullpen arms, dude.
It's not even opening day yet, and we're talking.
And we're already complaining.
We're complaining, and at least for me, I'm thinking, oh well, who could we get at the trade deadline to play left field? Because God only knows that. Oh boy.
Yeah. At least we have our shortstop. Like, that could be a thing.
We could have came into this one.
Last year, the end of last year, they were like, IKF's on the team next year. Uh-huh. Like, IKF's a big part of what we're doing. So, at least we've tackled that monster.
Very true. All right, so before we hop off, the Yankees play this weekend, and let's talk about it a little bit.
Yep.
And this will be the first one before we do, you know, recap episodes and everything of each series and all that. So, interesting lineup of games. We got the game tomorrow, which will be on Yes Network at 1, and then they play on Saturday against San Fran again, obviously, for it's a three-game set. So, they'll play on Fox at 4:05, and then Sunday again on Yes, which is 1:30. So, all afternoon games, so we won't get our first night game until Monday against the Phillies at the stadium, and that'll be Nestor Cortez's first start. But according, I'm looking at ESPN right now, so I don't know if MLB.com maybe has the pitching matchups. But it's going to start Cole tomorrow, Clark Schmidt on Saturday, and then Domingo Herman on Sunday. And then, obviously, as I said, Nestor will be on Monday. And then probably, it doesn't state it yet, but I believe Johnny Brito will be pitching on Tuesday. So, all that.
Logan Webb tomorrow, tough matchup.
All I'm looking at right now will be Logan Webb will be tomorrow. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see if they.
Did he win? No, he didn't win the Cy Young last year. Sandy Alcantara did.
He did have an excellent year. All right, here we go. I got the probable pitchers. I don't know if they usually.
He's fun to watch pitch, dude. Logan Webb. Yeah, he had a really good year last year, dude. He's disgusting.
Here we go. Nope. And Friday is an off day because they have to save that for a potential rain game.
Did we get that last year, or was it the day after? We got a really early rain out last day year. It was so annoying.
It was the second date, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so San Fran doesn't have any of their starters lined up. But the Yankees do. So we at least know who's pitching for us and then outside. But I'm expecting –
who's second in their rotation?
I'm expecting a – who is second in their rotation?
Yeah, 47 and no – no clouds tomorrow, so we got a beautiful day, April baseball. Let me see.
I think we'll take. I don't want to be too. I'm trying to with the right word. You know, too hopeful, I guess, would be what I would say. Maybe Alex Wood, they'll pitch. Maybe I don't know.
Oh yeah.
So Ross Stripling. So
hopeful for what? A win.
A sweep. I was going to say a sweep, but I think they're going to take two out of three. I would say they should, but they are capable of winning every one of these games, but I'm going to say two out of three.
They could lose two out of three, dude. Who knows?
That's also true.
I'm keeping the reaction to a minimum after this series.
Michael Conforto could come in and absolutely destroy us for not paying him.
Yeah, should have signed to be, asshole. Yeah.
But yeah, those are the pitching lineups. We're excited for opening day. And then next pod we'll be talking about actual Yankees baseball, man. I'm excited.
Recaps, baby. Yo, I still have to buy a streaming service. What do I buy, dude? I was told the Yes app is coming.
Oh, I thought so too. I think it's I know Nesson. So Nesson has one, and I think maybe one. Like maybe the Dodgers have one, but I know there's only limited at this point of these.
Whatever I can watch. Yes, network
networks. That are offering the paid stuff. So, like, Nesson has one that you pay, like, $30 a month. Yes was supposed to do that.
Take my money. Yes, I will pay you.
I don't know. I would say Google it again and see if you can find it.
I'm going to try and find something today.
Or you could just – not encouraging this, but I guess I'll just tell you, illegally stream it.
I don't trust it, dude. I need the crisp, you know. I want to be caught up.
I feel you.
Yeah. I need guarantee.
You may have to, you'd have to watch. You'd have to watch on major delay, probably too, at those.
Yeah, exactly. So, if I'm 50 seconds behind, I'm going to be losing.
Even though,
my mind.
The streaming apps are also a little behind too. So
yeah, cable's only like a few seconds behind, right?
Mm-hmm. Although when you add it all up, and you get cable and all these other, like you get Hulu, Netflix. It kind of, if you pay for a because you're in New York, so you get obviously you would get one of them with the whatever cable service you would get, yes. But it ends up being close to the same amount if you're someone that buys all these streaming services. So at the end of the day, it's like you could just say F it and get cable, but obviously it's more of a hassle because then you have to get the cable guy to come in.
I know. Well, I just want to be able to get on my phone and stuff. That's all I care about.
Well, you could do that too. You just use the cable sign-in and then
that is true.
You would be good to go.
All because, Dad, you had to switch to YouTube TV, huh?
Yeah, I was pissed when they took Yes off because I use Hulu TV and they took it off, so...
Oh, it's not all right. So I'll cross that off my list. Yeah. That's what I was gonna look at.
I think one that they had the DirecTV one. Now we're doing free promos for them, but
yeah.
Hopefully you'll get it. Just hopefully you figure it out, and then keep us updated.
I will. I'll be watching somehow.
Some way. But yeah, looking forward to opening day this weekend. As always, be sure to subscribe so you stay up to date with all the pods throughout the year. Leave us a rate and review if you're new to the podcast. That really helps us out. Follow us at Four Savages on Twitter, at Four Train Savages on Instagram, as well as TikTok. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And yeah, opening day tomorrow. Garrett Cole on the mound. Nothing better. Can't wait. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you at episode 137.